FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome back to This Club Is My Club. Later in the show we'll be finding out how the women's team got on in their match with Stockport County, but before that it's to the men's team, and on Saturday afternoon FC United travel to second place Bamber Bridge. To find out how the Reds got on in this one, it's over to FC Live in Lancashire.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Iron Gate, the home of Bamber Bridge, and this afternoon the home of Adam Dodd scoring a worlder, probably. But also the home of Woodzo, who for this afternoon. We're recording this bit before I've had a chance to speak to Neil pre-match. What's your thoughts on this game today? Because Bamber Bridge, they're in second. They're a couple of points off top spot. I think they've surprised everyone. They're title contenders. We need a win to get ourselves towards where Scarborough are at the moment, yeah, and threatening the playoffs. So what's your thoughts, Woodzo?
Well, I mean, I think the form has dropped a little bit prior to Tuesday night when they won. But you're right, they're still going to keep up there. Like I was just saying, then I did go up to them against Radcliffe and the defence was poor. You know, it could have been five before anybody scored to Radcliffe. They hit the bar twice, had one disallowed, and Briggs' keepers pulled off three worldies. So there'll be opportunities there. However, looking at the record, I think it's two games here and we've conceded six and scored none. But again, I go back to today's game is one. You know, looking at next week, Staley Bridge, they're on a bit of a run of poor form, so we should be looking at three there.
But they've just signed two decent strikers, haven't they, on loan, I think, Staley Bridge.
Oh, just in time for next week. Yeah, funny how that always happens.
Grantham have signed a pretty good striker as well, just for the end of the month.
They have, haven't they?
Well,
so. I've noticed that as well, yes. These are the type of games that, you know, people look at, you know, when we play Shields or something. These are the games that we need to put the points
on. No. I think because it's...
We changed our mind, though.
I think this one is now the same as Buxton was a couple of weeks ago, and that's a bonus point.
Maybe.
The second. It's mid-January.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I suppose.
It's a free hit, Woodzo, isn't it? Go on, say it. You know
I'm
you
not saying it. No, I'm not saying it. Although we said last time we did say it, we went to one, didn't we? So you're quite right, Bennett. Yeah, I mean, it is, I suppose, from a certain extent. I do think we should be looking ideally to 3 points. But will we take a draw and then say, right, let's start again at Staley Ridge? Probably. You know, last week being called off, that was certainly one of the games of the six-pointers, if you like, yeah. And it would have been good to have played last week, I think, for a number of reasons, kept the run going. I think we need to avoid defeat for definite, I think. And looking, like I said, how we seem to be playing, how we can play, and how they played. Going forward, they look quite good. If we get a point and then restart again next week, yes, it's probably a result. Three would be magic. I think three would be magic going into this little run of games now. Because like you said, we've got Whitby, you've got Scarborough next month, Grantham. These are all games that we need to be pulling out 3 points every week now, really. But
now, let's set the scene for those people who've never been here before. There's a stand over on the right-hand side here, which is very much like Leek.
Yeah, it's very much like that one, isn't it?
And over on the left here is where the clubhouse is and a couple of catering facilities and the bar. That's very much
the
like...
lovely butter pies I've just had. If you get,
it's Lancashire, isn't it?
I was going to say, if you come, make sure you get here early, so I left last time, but you won't hear this till Monday anyway, so...
It reminds me of a rugby union ground.
It does, yes. That clubhouse is very, very similar, yes.
And here we're in the main stand, but yeah.
You've missed out two most important things, I think, in this ground.
The sleeper yard.
The sleeper yard, the yard behind the stand where all the sleepers piled up. And the fact that if you want to get in for free, just knock on somebody's door on the street over here. Can we watch from your back bedroom?
That bit, minus the gantry and the dugouts on that far side.
It's me.
It's Marine.
It's Marine. And the numbers that I still... only a couple of years ago learned what those numbers were. My mind was blown.
Well, Neil, I was going to say Happy New Year, but I can't remember when I spoke. I think it was Radcliffe. Welcome back to Iron Gate. Yeah. What's the mood in the dressing room like after the last 2 weeks of non-action?
Yeah, it's disappointing, Ben. You know, when we don't play games of football, we're on a good run, and it takes the wind out of your sails a little bit. And, you know, disappointing to lose another home game, but we can't do anything about the weather. You know we've got a couple of issues with the pitch that we're going to address, but it's given us a chance to get around each other and train. We train really hard. It's given us probably about an extra 4 or 5 training sessions. So, you know, the squad's upbeat. It's good to see key people back now, and, you know, pretty much we're back to a full squad now. So, you know, we're looking forward to today's game.
So, selection dilemmas then, because obviously we're on an unbeaten run now after Radcliffe as well. So, how do you make those changes? Assuming you are going to make changes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a tough one. The lads have done well. You know, if you look back at the Buxton win, you know, Charlie Ennis misses out today because he's injured. But I don't really want to change a lot from that game. And, you know, you look at the midfield three in Smith and Griffiths and Wilson, they've done really well. But today I've got my captain back, you know, Michael Potts. And it takes a brave manager to leave your captain out, but I've decided to do that today because I don't think I could have actually looked at whites in their eyes and them three lads and say, I'm leaving you out today, and strip back the occasion. You know, if it's not Bamber Bridge today and it's maybe Staley Bridge, whatever, I'm not playing Michael Potts, but we can't let the occasion get the better of us today. We're here to do a job. We know what we've got to do to get into the playoff spots. We have to win today. We then have to claw back our game in hand and see what happens.
It's interesting in your post-match interview, because it was kind of similar to what I thought happened, where we took Wilson off and suddenly it all kind of fell away a bit. Great news that we've had an extension to that loan. How important is that?
He's a fantastic talent. I've been to watch him this week. He's just signed a new 2-year deal at Fleetwood. He's going to be in around the first team. I think for us to have a Harry Wilson, you know, at 17, to take him off at Radcliffe and kind of we go to pot, it's incredible. But listen, he's a great player. We're going to see real quality for him. But again, it's another, you know, masterstroke from Fleetwood, and they put a real trust in us to look after their players. And Harry just gives us that energy, you know, in midfield that maybe, you know, a Potts, Smith and Griffiths collectively don't do. I think, if I'm being honest, Griffiths and Smith and Potts are fighting for them two shirts, you know, and I think Harry's occupying that 10 shirt at the minute. So, you know, we'll see, you know. But when you look at your bench there, and I've got the likes of Michael Potts, it gives you a lot of encouragement.
It's going to be 100 games for Michael Donoghue this afternoon. He's been in so many different variations of this team, but this year and the season that never was, he really did come into his own. I mean, what's your thoughts on that achievement?
Incredible. You know, I've listened to Donoghue's interview. It's been a long time coming with COVID and everything, but he's just a fantastic lad, and it's an incredible achievement. And to have, you know, a player in your side that's making 100 appearances shows that we've got that consistency and that trust between us. There is another variation for Donoghue today, because we're playing on left wing. So we're taking him back a few years. But he's just one of them players, Donoghue, that can play everywhere. And he's so fit and he's so energetic, and he gives you his all. And that's why, you know, every team needs a Michael Donoghue. And I'm sure, you know, we're talking about 100 appearances now. Don't be surprised if he gets 150, 200, 250. He's, you know, he's settled with his football. He's doing really well. He's a young lad. And we want him to go and emulate, you know, what he's created today. But special occasion for him. But come 3 o'clock, I'm sure he won't be thinking about it.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wenger Bus. And you join us here live from Iron Gate, the home of Bamber Bridge. And this afternoon, the home of FC United against Bamber Bridge in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And it's been ages since we were last on FC Live. Weather got in the way last week ahead of the match against Warrington. But I'm pleased to report that the weather here in Lancashire is delightful. And joining me here underneath the main stand roof, it's Mr. Delightful himself. It's Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. Football's been going on elsewhere in the division. And FC United taking on a team in the title race. 2 points from top spot, Bamber Bridge, heading into this game.
Yeah, it's a difficult assignment again. It's a bit like the one at Buxton. But I think there's a bit of hope today. I mean, we've got to crack the barrier of not scoring ever here. That's a massive barrier, I think. But if we can do that, they've already lost 4 at home, so they're not impregnable here at Iron Gate.
And when it comes to team news, I'm unable to give you team news at the moment because we've only got one team sheet between the whole of the press, the visiting press, that is. It's not quite as bad as some clubs. We do have a roof over us, but it's not ideal. FC United, we spoke to Neil Reynolds pre-match about Michael Donoghue. He's heading for 100 games today, starting at number 11. We believe he's going to be playing on the left-hand side. it's quite an achievement, isn't it, to make 100 appearances at any non-league club, but for FC United it's quite an achievement, I think.
It
for
is. I think it's around about 25 players who've done it before. It's certainly a milestone, and Michael Potts is closing in on it. He's a few games short. He's on the bench this afternoon, I believe. So it's a tribute to his loyalty as well to the club. The fact that he's stuck it out. He's had his ups and downs, but he's quite rightly considered a very key man now, as well as his versatility.
A cracking player. You mentioned Michael Potts being on the substitute bench. How much do you think... obviously, there's an argument to say Griffiths, Smith and Wilson have performed brilliantly in recent weeks, so why should Michael Potts come back in? But do you think there's an element to it as well in Neil's mind that after the last time we came here, it's like just to take the pressure off Potsy a bit, coming back to his old club?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think possibly he's still a bit rusty. When he came on at Radcliffe, I don't think he had the impact that the manager wanted him to have. So I think that's a factor. There's another factor that the relationship with Smith and Griffiths in midfield has been pretty good. So why change it if it's working? I thought he would start today, to be honest, with it being at Bamber Bridge, but I'm sure he'll play a part in the game at some point.
But I do mention the last time we were here, and I think Neil would probably say that was a low point of that great season we had, that was curtailed. We just didn't really bring anything that afternoon here.
It was very poor that day. I think Bamber Bridge started off like a house on fire and got a grip of the game from the first kick and never let go of it. And we struggled to get into the game, and obviously we had a number of players with Bamber Bridge connections that didn't fire on the day. And Ali Wadaka, of course, scored that day for them. Let's hope he does something this afternoon in the red shirt.
Well, Wadaka's starting this afternoon, as does Harry Wilson. And we mentioned Harry Wilson there. He is keeping the skipper out, I feel, as well as Smith and Griffiths. He's been phenomenal, and it's great news that his loan's been extended until the end of the season.
I think he's certainly got great potential, Wilson, and let's hope that he continues to show something in the same vein. It's an interesting lineup this afternoon. If we look at the bench, for instance, and the players who are not getting starts, Duckworth, you know, with his goal scoring, could rightly say that he's earned a spot in the starting lineup, but he's on the bench this afternoon. Regan Linney, of course, we're hoping he carries on where he's left off the last few games. He's been absolutely brilliant.
Similar, apart from Ennis. Ennis is out injured at the moment, but it's kind of similar to the Buxton lineup. Is this the new lineup when we're playing a team in the playoffs?
The Buxton lineup worked perfectly, didn't it? I mean, that was one of the great away performances, and I think there are similarities in this one in that, you know, this is a ground we've not prospered at all on, and it's about time we changed that.
But we haven't been here that much, have we? It's one of these grounds which is local to us, but we've not played that many games.
It's very strange. We've only had three previous visits, but the fact that we've never scored is disturbing, to say the least. I mean, you know, you look at our bogey grounds like Darlington, Brackley, the places where we've lost all our visits. At least we got a draw here once, I suppose. That's something. But I think a win today would really put a cat amongst the pigeons at the top of the table. We can't go up any positions today. We're in eighth and we're stuck in eighth, I think.
Well, while we've been off, Scarborough have been busy, haven't they, making hay in the sunshine.
Yeah.
And they've got themselves 3 points from the playoffs. That would be brilliant if we could get anywhere close to that in the next couple of weeks.
If we can close the gap, I mean, a draw would be great. I think a draw would be a good result today here. But the one thing I can say is that they've already lost four at home this season, Bamber Bridge, so their away form apparently was for the early stage of the season, they had the best away form. But at home, they've slipped up a bit, so that could happen.
And of course, we've beaten them this season.
Yes, we've already beaten them.
I mean, we discussed this in the mid-season review. It's a performance that I think you did fly under the radar a bit, but it was one of the performances of the season at the time. Just to say about our defensive players this afternoon, Lavercombe's in goal. Halls is wearing number two, Doddy's at left back, and we've got Morris and Jones. Is Halls playing centre back or is Morris playing centre back?
This is the trick of the hand, isn't it? Like, who's playing where? But yeah, it's a tough one.
But how good is it Jones is back?
Well, I suspect, I mean, Jones and Morris have got such an understanding, I think they'll stick together, to be honest. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. But there is potential there. I mean, Donoghue's being touted as playing left wing this afternoon. We'll see. whether that sticks.
It's great. There's three potentials. Oh, Wadika. It's four. Four potentials for right back, if you include Wadika. Just to mention about Fleetwood. Just to mention about Bamber Bridge, Nathan Pond.
Yeah, Nathan Pond, there's a story.
And he's played against FC before in a game which many people will remember for its cuddly toys.
Well, yes, and the plastic bottles. But it's fascinating. We played at Fleetwood back in 2007 in the FA Cup. Nathan Pond played along with Jamie Milligan, who's now the Brig manager. And he scored two penalties in that game, I remember. So it's fascinating. We can go back 15 years, and there he is up against FC.
And Nathan's still got it. He scored midweek, didn't he, against Radcliffe?
He did, yeah. They pushed him up front, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, he's obviously got something. He's been a class player for some years, and he's played international football with Montserrat. So, you know, he's been around a bit. He was at Salford City for a while as well, wasn't he? So he's played for a number of clubs.
Let's talk about the other player who we need to talk about, Finlay Sinclair-Smith. Starts today for Bamber Bridge. He's a good player.
He's very dangerous, and we're going to have to keep tabs on him this afternoon, no doubt whatsoever. Whoever's up against him is going to have to be on their mettle, because he's pacey, he's got two good feet, dangerous around the edge of the box, as we know. He's certainly going to have to be watched carefully.
Well, the good news is that James Quinn has found a car parking space. Well, the teams are now coming out onto the pitch. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us this afternoon. Station at fcumradio.co.uk, Twitter at fcumradio. And it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for FC United against Bamber Bridge. It's Dato Paul, but first, it's James Quinn.
As on the right-hand side, it's Skinner. Aaron Skinner. Cross comes in nice and Pond. Well, he was had a chance there, but he just couldn't direct the header there. It was a great cross from Skinner. Pond goes up, breasts it down nicely. Yates tries to play in. Hyam on the left-hand side does so. Hyam, oh, nice, plex it past Hall. Good ball cross. Oh, and well, it was Sinclair Smith who couldn't get on the end of it. Came to him at pace, and he couldn't control the header. It was a nice bit of movement on the left-hand side from Bamber Bridge. Yates picks it up. Yates, nice ball there. Martin, can he get a ball across there? And it goes right across, and it just needed Pond or somebody to stick a leg out there and give Bamber Bridge the lead. Now Yates with a cross. It's blocked by Smith. And a thunderbolt there from Martin goes over the bar. That's probably the closest either side have come there. And now it's Macaulay Wilson, still deep inside his own half. Plays it to Martin. Martin plays it out to the left-hand side. And now Yates on the turn. Yates trying to thread his way past Halls. The ball will break for FC. Griffiths now has it. Now Dodd, a little bit of space in front of him now. Driven out to the left-hand side. Now Michael Donoghue. Donoghue plays it infield, but Dodd gets the ball. Second ball won by Duckworth. Edge of the box, Duckworth. Can he? Oh, he... And it, oh, and it, well, it bounced off Linney almost in the end.
I think we can count that
straight
as a
to the
attempt.
Keeper. Now, can Potts pick this one up? Can he get on the end of it? Can't quite do so. Norson slides it through, but slides it through all the way to Lavercombe. 16 minutes to go. 0-0 here at Iron Gate. Potts.
Come on, play it.
Potts now out to the left hand side. First, Linney, first time ball. Great. One from Wadika. Wadika checks. Wadika with a shot. Block. Good defending from Spooner. Michael Potts came onto the sub. But now with the captain's armbands on. Smith, who started with the captain's armband, plays it. Nice ball forward. Good dummy. Wadika, though, can't control it there. He's under pressure. But he has it still. Can FC find the right pass? 30 yards out. Potts plays it out. Now it's with Linney in the left flank. Linney now tries to bring it infield. Linney, he blasts it and it's palmed away. And that ball will go out for a throw in to FC United right by the left corner flag. Now Linney. Linney. He's got Dodd waiting. Dodd balloons that rather and it beats everyone. And it's cleared. But it's picked up. Second ball, 40 yards out. Now Smith. Now it's a. Good work from Halls. Halls blasting through, wins a corner. Well, FC putting some pressure on here with just under 4 minutes to go.
This really would be a smash and grab, wouldn't it?
Could they find good, accurate corner from the right-hand side? that finds a red shirt and finds the net. Linney preparing to take this corner from the right-hand side, but here comes the corner. Decent delivery, headed across the face of the goal, and then cleared. Wadika on the turn, Duckworth, lovely ball. Linney there, but poor tackle. But it's a blasted shot, and over the bar it goes.
Halls with a shot.
It's looked dangerous in the last few minutes, Halls.
Final whistle.
And there goes the final whistle. And as the referee puts us out of our misery here at Iron Gate.
James, I don't think it's been that bad a game.
Well, of course, there's always a naysayer. And there's always someone who has to disagree. It has to stir it up.
Go on, you do your wrap up for the TV. So,
well, on not the most attractive of occasion, not bad in the view of some. That may be enough for some, not for others. But FC have got a good point here. Second in the table, Bamber Bridge being held here. Good defending. And to discuss the man of the match in a minute, I would suggest that will be won by a player wearing number 5 for FC. But both defences look solid. I think a lack of quality from both sides in the final pass, particularly FC. And FC did have opportunities, and the quality wasn't there. It was a performance that looked more based on defence than creation.
Here's the thing. It's all about Pond. Pond started the game up front because that's where he played against Radcliffe midweek. But he is a defender by trade and a very, very good defender.
And it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. But as soon as we brought on Duckworth, the change was made and Pond went back. And Pond kind of marshalled it and did what you'd expect a former Football League player to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did have our chances, but I don't know. I think we just cancelled each other out, in all fairness.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a tribute to Bamber Bridge that we set up in a different way, certainly at the start of the game, to keep ourselves in the game.
How much of that is to do with the last time we were here and that horrendous afternoon? Because that brilliant run we were on and that great season of memorable matches, Bamber Bridge was right in the middle of that, and it was horrendous. And that must have been in Neil's mind, because it was about containment in the first half.
No matter what he says, I think that game was pivotal to his thinking this afternoon. And I think what he thought was that when he changed it in the second half, he thought we could go on and nick a goal with more attacking play, but we didn't quite manage it.
And this is what I go back to when I just mentioned Nathan Pond. If Jamie Milligan didn't change it, do you reckon we would have done it?
Well,
with the defence Bamber Bridge lined up with in the first half, because I think we would have given them a challenge. But I think Pond going back was just enough to just go, nope, that's not going to happen.
I mean, the fact that Lavacombe did not have a save to make in 90 minutes, that tells you something, doesn't it? I think we defended really well, particularly from the high balls that were going in. We had 12 corners to defend in that game, and we knocked them all out. And all the free kicks that went in and the long balls, we managed to deal with. And tribute to Jones and Morris at the back. But also, Halls had a very good game. And Dodd came back and fitted in very neatly. All those performances were top class this afternoon against a good Bamber Bridge side.
Just a special congratulations to Michael Donoghue. That is 100 games now for FC United. It is a good point away from home at Bamber Bridge, Paul, isn't it?
Well, compare this to the point at Radcliffe, where we felt we should have gone with three. Mm-hmm. We should have gone home with three. This is a very different kind of point. This is a hard-fought point. And I think if we'd gone gung-ho in this game, they would have picked us off.
Well, we've got a point.
If we can beat Stirling Bridge next week, the point looks much more valuable.
Well, FC United, we couldn't move up the table tonight, but we've gained another point on Whitby Town. And if we go back to Christmas, before Christmas, to be 3 points behind Whitby, having played the same number of games, that's pretty good, I'm going to suggest. The problem is that Scarborough have, instead of picking up draws, have picked up wins. They picked up another win today at Stalybridge Celtic. 1-0, Scarborough winning there, and that sees them a point outside the playoffs. It eventually finished 3-3 between Buxton and Warrington Town, a right ding-dong there at Silverlands. South Shields have leapfrogged over Buxton and now sit in third position. with games in hand as well. South Shields beating Radcliffe by 2-0. And Matlock have moved 4 points clear up at the top as they beat Witton Albion by 1-0. Gainsborough Trinity beat Baysford incidentally, which is a handy result for them down towards the bottom end of the table. Paul, just before you go, closing thoughts to you.
Yeah, I'm sure Renault will be delighted at the result. Maybe not the whole performance. I think he maybe wanted a bit more from his side going forward this afternoon. But I'm pretty sure that when he looks at the game and the way that we cancelled them out, I think he'll be quite pleased with that, especially having conceded 6 goals in 2 games before this one.
Well, Paul, big thank you for joining us. We'll be hearing from Paul again tomorrow at Women's Team Live as FC United take on Stockport County. Join us from 2 o'clock at Broadhurst Park tomorrow. Just finishing off the full-time scores, I was just mentioning a good result for Gainsborough Trinity beating Baysford. Baysford are now in 13th position. They've had Steve Chettle's move up to director of football at the club. They've had a few changes off the pitch, and I think basically they're just consolidating now, and for next season I don't think they're going to be challenging for the playoffs by the looks of it, based on recent form. And I think that's all the scores from this afternoon. There were 2 matches postponed for various reasons: Nantwich Town against Mickleover and Grantham Town against Ashton United. Obviously both those games don't really have an impact up on the top half of the table. FC United finishing the day still in 8th, 7 points from the playoffs.
Neil, good point. Defensive performance, you may be aware, 12 corners, all defended really well. We gave the man it much to Aaron Morris. You seem to set up to contain, and if that's true, you would be pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with the outcome, James. I think the important thing today was to keep our unbeaten record going. We knew it was going to be tough. The second in the league for a reason. You know, they beat a lot of sides. But listen, like I just said to lads at the end of the game, someone would have said that you'd take 4 points off Buxton, 4 points off Bamber Bridge, you know, and so on. You take it. And I thought it was a defensive masterclass. It was different to what we usually play. I've been critical of myself at times where I've played, not gung-ho football, but a little bit attacking football. I said to the fullbacks today, sit in, protect Curtis, protect Aaron. I said to Smudge and Griff, you know, sit in a little bit deeper and let's see if we can hit them on the break. And I thought we played some great football. Probably just at the final third, we wasn't at our clinical best, but great point, away from home, clean sheet, and yeah, really happy.
Duckworth's introduction in the second half gave Linney a bit more support, and for a while that looked promising, but going to what you said, really, did you feel that it was a game, if you were to win the game, it needed some precision and quality in those final passes, and that wasn't there much today?
You know, I've just said to the lads, I'm not going to hide it, I'm not going to come out here and berate people. I thought Ali Wanaka could have been better for us. I thought Joe Duckworth could have been better for us. I thought Donald's worked hard, but he had a chance right at the end to slip Regan through and didn't, and panicked, and, you know, with his final ball. So probably top end of the pitch, you know, we didn't do enough. And the scoreline reflects that. We were excellent at the back and didn't do enough going forward. But listen, we were coming over here for a point today. You know, I'm not going to say we wasn't. I'm not saying we've got any favourable fixtures, because there's no easy games in this league, but we're now going in, you know, to the next week's game against Stalybridge, top of the form league, 6 unbeaten, and we go and try and pick up as many points as we can do now.
And Donoghue on the flank, is that where you really would like to see him play?
No idea, James. I'm not going to lie to you. I've just said to him now, I said, where am I going to play you? Because wherever I play you, you're exceptional. We've played him number 2, we've played him number 4, we've played him 8, played 10, 7, 11. Mm. You know, he's just a fantastic player. And he's his own worst enemy, because his work ethic is so positive. His attitude's so positive. And it was important to play Mike Donoghue today, not for a number of reasons, but, you know, to make his 100th appearance for the club, and, you know, a lot of factors around it. And he was my man of the match, I'll be honest with you. You know, I know you've given it Aaron Morrison, and rightly so, but I just thought Donoghue epitomised everything that we stand for today. And, you know, whether or not he's on the right or on the left, he gave them problems. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about Mike Donoghue. He won't like it, because he want to be settled in a position, but as a manager, it's really, really positive when you've got a Mike Donoghue in your squad.
You've got Potts looking more like his old self when he came in. So you've got three players there for three quality players for 2 positions. Is that something that you, as a happy problem?
I'd say Harry Wilson. I know he was quiet today, 17-year-old. A lot of factors against Haz today. You know, he's playing against his 2 Fleetwood coaches in Yatesy and Nathan Pond. All these Fleetwood teammates were here today watching him. He's under-18s coaching. You know, big crowd. I think he just, you know, I think the occasion got the better of him, but he's a good player. Griffiths wasn't happy when he came off, but so be it. You know, I don't want my players to be happy. Potsy was exceptional. Smudge was great, but we've seen this season, it only takes Football could change any second. It only takes a couple of injuries to Potts and to Smith, and all of a sudden you're down to two. So, listen, I'm not going to be explaining to anybody about what the team selection is going to be. We've got 17 cup finals to go, and the team will be the team, and hopefully everyone sticks in there and stays positive.
And seven goals conceded over a roller coaster of a Christmas period, the clean sheet. All important for you.
Exactly what I said. I said, listen, you've got your doubters now. Although you picked up 4 points, you've conceded six goals in the process. With three against Ashton and three against Radcliffe, and we need to be better. And they've just shown that when you get a partnership of Morris and Jones at centre half, Halsey at right back, and Dodd, Lava coming behind, I don't think there's a better back five in the league. And they've just shown that. You know, they're exceptional. But this season we've been hamstrung because CJ's missed and Doddy's missed, and we've had to draft Halsey in, and Aaron dropped out against Mars. So it's difficult, isn't it? But we are very, very happy with the point. And, big credit to the fans. They were happy at the end of the game as well.
Finally, Staley Bridge at home next Saturday, followed by Whitby at home 3 days later. At this stage of the season, Staley Bridge home, 3 points a must, would you say?
Unbeaten's a must. I have a points total over the next two games. It's not six, it's not three, and it's not zero. And if we get that, we're on course. And we know what our points total is going to be this season. And I've said 17 to go, 51 points. We know exactly what we need from the 51 to get where we want to be. And, you know, we're going to win every single game. Love to, but I don't think we will do. So we've got to make sure that we really precise with our points along the way. And, you know, I don't want the lads to feel any pressure that they've got to beat Staley Bridge. I think they've just got to relax, do the very best and see what happens. But I'm sure there'll be an expectation growing now because we're creeping up in and around the playoffs and people are dropping points. But I did say before Christmas when things weren't going great, don't rule us out yet because there's a lot of football to be played and a lot of points to be picked up yet.
Neil Reynolds there speaking following his side's 0-0 draw with Bamber Bridge. Let's have some more post-match reaction now from Saturday's draw. In a second, we'll be hearing from man of the match, Aaron Morris. But before that, it's to Michael Donoghue, who featured in his 100th competitive game for FC United on Saturday. And he caught up with Tim shortly after the final whistle.
Your 100th game, how did that go for you?
It was a tough one. I'm feeling it now on the legs. I don't think I've had much more than that in any of the previous 99 games. Obviously, the odd chance to win in that, but all in all, I think a draw is a fair result.
Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable that our shape was a lot more compact at the back, wasn't it?
Yeah, we obviously came in, the plan was to be defensively organised and us to try and nick a goal. We were defensively organised, all 11 lads on the pitch and the subject came on. We were building defensively, it was just that last little bit in the final third we failed on.
Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable when Joe came on, we got a bit more joy up front, didn't we, with that, just that sort of that ball sticking up a bit more.
Yeah, like the lads on the bench came on and had a great impact. Like, it's a squad game, and we know that we can stay defensively tight, keep the game 0-0 for 60, 70 minutes, and we've got people to come off the bench and nick a goal in the end. And like I say, we nearly did that, the game did change when the substitutions came on and we were more attacking.
Okay, obviously we saw you today playing in the front three, with the front four rather.
Yeah.
What's your favourite position? You play so well at every play you place, but if you could pick, where would it be?
I'll play anywhere. Like I say, I just enjoy being on the pitch, enjoy playing football. I think that sums up my 100 games. They obviously have played right back on 99 and then left wing on game 100. Just couldn't be any further away from where I started the last game. But yeah, as long as I'm playing, I'm happy.
Okay, fantastic. Well, looking forward to many games for you in an FC shirt. Congratulations and enjoy your evening.
Yeah, it's 200.
Once again, you're the FCUM Radio Man of the Match. Clean sheet.
Yeah, clean sheet was a massive team. I remember when I spoke to Will a couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the Ashton game. We were disappointed to concede three, even though we got the win. We said it's something that we need to work on because, like you said, we can't rely on the forwards every week to score two, three, four goals. So yeah, we've kept the clean sheet, me and Kurt, Halsey, Doddy, Dan at the back, we're all very happy with that, and then obviously the lads in front of us have played their part as well, big clean sheet.
Yeah, I mean it was noticeable, you know, it's quite a compact unit with both the fullbacks sort of sitting deep and obviously Griff and Smudge sitting in front of you.
Yeah, they've put obviously Smudge and Griff put a massive shift in front of us there. Bamber Bridge, you'd probably say, did have more of the ball, especially first half. He moved us side to side. Smudge and Griff, I think they've done a great job protecting us, especially their 10, tricky player. I think they stifled him quite well. And then we've limited them to long shots and just hopeful crosses into the box, really, which I think we dealt with quite well. So, yeah, we're happy.
Yeah, I mean, it must feel like you've put a shift in, because, I mean, I think we faced 12 corners and you know, I don't think Lavcombe actually had a save to make.
No, that's, I've just been saying that with Dan then, and probably hasn't had a shot to save, which you'd take, like we said, we've limited them to long shots. Just we couldn't really get it going the other way, really, which is probably down to us as well. Our quality building out from the back wasn't the best, and then the lads up front as well has put a shift in, so when the ball does come up soon, it is tough for them to have a bit of quality when they've put such a shift in going the other way. But we're happy, we've got a clean sheet, second in the league. If you said that at the start of the season, Bamber Bridge are second in the league and we took 4 points off them in two games, you take that, because you won't be far off till the end of the season if you're beating the teams that are up there.
Tim there speaking to FC Live Man of the Match from Saturday, Aaron Morris, and before that, Michael Donoghue. Next up for the Reds will be the home match with Stalybridge Celtic this weekend. Kick-off this Saturday in North Manchester will be 3 p.m. Admission is pay on the gate, £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s, with under 5s free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 2:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon on www.fc-radio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and FC United welcome Stockport County to Broadhurst Park on Sunday. And to hear now how FC got on in this one, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Well, good afternoon everyone, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. It seems like forever since we were last here, but here we are for Women's Team Live on a Sunday afternoon as FC United take on Stockport County. And joining me for this afternoon's coverage, Stato Paul's with us. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk about FC United as we head into this game. Injury hit squad that Tom's having to deal with here. We've got three new signings, which I think is a necessity. What are we expecting this afternoon? Because we played Stockport County already once at their place and once in a cup match. They beat us 3-0. On each occasion. It's a tall ask this afternoon, isn't it?
It's a big ask because they're a very good side. We've seen this already this season. They've got three of our ex-players on the team sheet this afternoon. It's a very, very difficult one, and trying to integrate three new players as well, again, is a tough ask. Lauren Wood, we understand, is a right back stroke right wing back. And then we've got on the bench Betty Hall, or Elizabeth Hall, as she's down on the team sheet. We believe she's a midfielder, and Neve Birtwistle is a centre midfielder. But the age of the recruits, two of them are 17, so they're not finished products, I would say.
It's the same as Ali Rigby, though, isn't it, really? I mean, the other thing we have to say is Chelsea Patience back, and, you know, how important is that?
Yeah, she had a horrific return last week at Newcastle, and obviously it wasn't her fault that we shed 10 goals, which is a club record defeat, but... Yeah, I mean, it will probably take time for her to regain a kind of rhythm that she had playing regularly, because she's obviously been out of the game for a while with the maternity leave. But no doubt her experience will come in very handy at the back. And it's a curiosity that her former sidekick, Fran Davis, is on the bench for Stockport this afternoon. So, you know, that's a sign of how things develop, I suppose, and how players move on.
Donnellan's out injured, and Lauren Davis is out as well, as is Caitlin Clancy, E. Kennelly, Jordan Bailey, Kirsty Chambers, Kayleigh Cunliffe and Darby Williams. So
I counted 11 missing.
That's
last
a good
week.
Team, that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You look at Stockport's side in contrast, and they're fairly settled. There's not a lot of change from when we played them before. They've got Jess Battle up front again. She's scored against us in both meetings this season, inevitably, and will probably endeavour to do again today. They've got Shauna Jane playing left-back, who was a good player for us. They've got good players all over the place. Anifa Douglas in midfield. Figueiredo, we know all about. All the skills and tricks that she brings to the front line. Very, very strong back line. They're currently in sixth, I think, at the moment, and we're in eighth. And strangely enough, I think we're both on 12 points. And whoever wins today could strike out up to fourth, even if results go the right way. So you can see it's a very fluid division, and we've taken some batterings this season, but obviously our goal difference is massively inferior to lots of other sides. But
that's mainly because of Leeds and Newcastle, isn't it, really?
Yeah, there are suspects in that sentence that have contributed to our demise, but it just shows you how you string two or three wins together and the table can alter very quickly. But I do think that having suffered some bad defeats in recent weeks and one or two unlucky defeats, we need to impose ourselves again and get a win on the board. Well, and just stabilise things.
This is it. Before the injury started to mount up, we got a bit of a rhythm going, didn't we? And we managed to get ourselves... We were talking before One Women's Team Live, I think it was in November, we were talking about FC maybe becoming the best of the rest in the division and aiming for fourth spot, if possible. Mm. That is still possible. I mean, we're only 2 points from Durham SSG in fourth, and that would be... That should be the target for the second half of the season, shouldn't it, really, if possible?
I think we've got our own targets. Certainly Tom has, I'm sure, in terms of what he expects from this season and where we end up. We are not threatening promotion. There's no way we're doing that. We're just out of that level at the moment. But I think there are points to be gained and wins to be had. And if we upset the apple cart this afternoon with Stockport County, that would be a good step forward for the rest of the season, and or this month even. There's still a number of points to fight for.
Gene trying to beat Ogden. Ogden there putting the challenge in, but the ball's smuggled out to Bradshaw on the left. Bradshaw now crosses that ball in from the byline to Battle. It breaks to Douglas. Douglas side foots it into the net, 6 yards out, 18 minutes just played at Broadhurst Park. And Stockport take the lead, Paul.
Well, Bradshaw on the left-hand side. The left wing has caused us problems previously in other games. And again there, she got to the byline and whipped over a good cross. Battle helped it on its way, basically, rather than shoot. And Douglas was very alive in the heart of the penalty area to stroke it into the net.
It's going to be a throw-in to FC United. 6 yards from the Stockport County corner flag over on the far side. Throw-in taken. Flanagan gets it back to Mather. Mather plays the ball to the edge of the box to Ogden. Ogden infield. Ward's onside!
And it's given.
And there's the equaliser. Lauren Wood there on a home debut for FC United on the half-hour mark. And it's been coming. It's been coming, Paul, in the last couple of minutes or so.
I think FC have crept their way into this game in the last few minutes, and they started getting more possession. They won more challenges. They've been getting crosses into the box, and that was a very well-worked goal. And Wood was very alive to it.
Long ball play forward. The runner Battle's a great ball that by Howard. Battle's onside. Battle's lining up a shot. Oh, and it's just wide. And in fact, I think it's a good save from Ainsworth. Ainsworth got down to her right hand side and just got enough on it to tip that ball wide. Great save by the FC United goalkeeper. Mather looking for options. Infield to Ogden. Ogden's challenged. Here's Figueredo. Figueredo racing into the penalty area. Challenge comes in for Patient. Ball breaks. Good save by Ainsworth on Jess Battle. Battle with another chance. And there's Marsh off the line and eventually cleared by Goodwin. We've got a free kick to FC United. It's about 15 yards in from the touchline here on the main stand side. And it's midway inside Stockport County's half. Kate O'Gara's over it. It's going to get swung in this. And, it's always a good time to score, but in this particular case, with 2 minutes left of the first half, this is hashtag a good time to score. And it's Kate O'Gara to take this. We've got Hayes, Flanagan, Hunt, Wood and Ogden all on the edge of Stockport County's penalty area. In it comes from O'Gara towards the back post. It's not been cleared. It breaks to Hayes. Good header from Hayes.
Oh, yes.
And that is a fantastic goal from FC United. Such a clever header. Just loop it over the goalkeeper.
That was it.
And from 1-0 down, right on half-time, FC United make it 2-1, Paul.
Well, you built that one up.
I did.
And the header was... The header had to have distance on it and height to beat the keeper.
Yeah, she was really grasping at air, wasn't she? It was a fantastic goal, that, from FC.
And we don't do goals from set pieces normally.
No. But well taken.
Well, the game's turned on its head.
Ash Hayes with that goal there. First goal? No, she got one, didn't she? Bundled over the line, didn't she?
Yeah, close ranger.
At the end of last year. Ball played over the top and Hayes is chasing this. Howard under pressure. But Rostrum gets the ball back from Howard. Out to Jean.
I wonder if that breaking play just broke the concentration a bit for the injury. Yeah.
Well, here's Howard now. Howard, long ball play forward for the run there of Battle. Battle crosses that ball in and that is a... What a finish from Figueredo. It was a great ball to find Battle, and Battle crosses that ball in, and just as we're building up, Stockport getting an equaliser right in half time, Paul.
I think most people in the stand were thinking to themselves, well, we're 2-1 up, we're close to half time, we just need to see it out. But a good ball down the right-hand side. Battle was alive to it. She made it her ball. Put in the cross, and Figueredo, we know how good she is. She's got all the skills, and that was a terrific volley.
It's a corner to Stockport County from the corner of the Lightbound Road and the main stand. In it comes towards the penalty spot. It's cleared. On his far as Howard, who volleys it first time. It's not been cleared yet by FC United. Dangerous stuff. Battle there, straight at the goalkeeper. Good hands from Ainsworth. Score remains 2 apiece. Here's Ogden. Ogden on the halfway line. Davenport. Good ball by Davenport to Flanagan. Flanagan down the right-hand side into the penalty area. Checks back, waiting for support. Ogden leaves it. It breaks the hole on the edge of the box. Hall shoots. Oh, too long. Hall gets the ball back. And, well, that was good. But it's back with the goalkeeper. And dead on 3 minutes of added time. 2-2, the final score in this first home game of 2022. A local derby. And it's been a brilliant game of football. And, well, where do we start with that one, Paul?
Well, I think for the first time when we played Stockport County, we've kind of matched them on the pitch, whereas before we've always seemed to be inferior and chasing a game. I think this afternoon we've given them a really hard match, and we really are deserving of a point. I think it's a very fair result, a draw, considering that the fact that we've brought three new players in this afternoon. We were up against it a goal down. We fought back, got the lead, got pegged back again. We've lived on our nerves a little bit in the second half at times, but I think it's a tribute to both sets of players that we saw such an entertaining game this afternoon.
Now, player of the match. Always a good discussion at the end of a game.
I was very impressed with Lauren Wood.
Very impressed with Lauren Wood. Yes, I agree. I'd also like to mention Mather, who played the right of centre-back. It's a makeshift position that, you know, Tom will freely admit. She's learning as she goes. I think she's had a great game. Flanagan again.
Flanagan was superb. Ogden. A hold up play, excellent.
Ogden had a good game when she was on the pitch, I thought. Abby Hunt, brilliant.
Yeah.
What do you think, Paul?
Well,
who do I give this to? O'Gara's had a good game in the second half as well, you know.
Well, it's up to you. I would be tempted to give it Wood on her debut.
Okay. We'll give it Wood. But I secretly think it's Mather. I'm hedging my bets, but I don't.
Well, have a chat with the manager.
Yeah, it's a little game we play now as the radio team. We like to compare notes and then go, what does the manager think? And then
and revise accordingly.
Yeah. But 2-2, the final score here. Stockport County start the game really, really well. Two previous encounters against Stockport this season. Stockport have won 3-0. They score, but then FC United, they come back into it. And how much of that is led by Flanagan and Hayes?
Yeah, I think there was to a large degree. I think for the first 20 minutes or so, we seemed a little bit reluctant to put challenges in and track players and compete. Once we started doing that, the game changed quite quickly, and Stockport became more on the back foot. And the equaliser, when it did come, you could see it was on its way. You could see the game was drifting in the FC direction.
And we're going to be joined by Tom Fitton, women's team manager, in a second to discuss his thoughts on that game. But I'm going to suggest Paul's right, and Tom's going to be pleased with this performance this afternoon, and
certainly considering the resources he had.
Yep. Well, here's Tom Fitton now. Happy New Year, Tom. Welcome back.
Better than last week.
Yeah. I mean, without knowing too much about the away performances,
yeah,
that was up there.
Yeah, big time. I just said in there then, finally the pieces are coming together, and I know we've had this discussion a few times, but that needs to be the consistent now. Very disciplined out of possession, which obviously we've had to do off the back of last week. It never would be our plan. Like, say, we're a footballing team, we want to go and take the game to the opposition, and we managed to do it from a much solider background and foundation. And like you say, I've known Mazu, smashed the second one in off the cross for a good 10 years. She's never hit one that clean in her life, but that's football, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good finish, that.
Yeah, it was.
It really was. But speaking of finishes, I really enjoyed Hayes's header.
Yeah.
I like
it was
headers
cute,
like
wasn't
that.
It?
Yeah,
it was a cute
very
header,
good.
That.
Given our performances against Stockport County this season, you know, they beat us 3-0 twice. You know, they take the lead after 20 minutes. But then we noticed, I think it was spearheaded by Flanagan and by Hayes, there was a lot more pressing in midfield.
Yeah.
And we gave him a game at that point, and that never changed in the second half.
I think first half was very even. We was so sloppy with the ball, especially first 20 minutes. But second half, we deserved more from it. But like you say, considering what we've been through, since we've been back, and the lack of rewards we've had in three big performances before Christmas, I think we've got to be happy with that. We're looking at the fixtures for the next three, four games. There's a lot of points to be taken, and if we play like that, we'll collect them, and that's what's valuable for us now.
We've just had a deliberation about player of the match. I wanted to give it to Corey Mather, but I was outvoted by Stato Paul, who gave it to Wood.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many good performances. Yeah. Abby Hunt was mentioned as well.
Flanagan
was superb. I mean, it's quite a knack she's got of winning flick-ons and bringing the ball down from Ainsworth's clearances.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of Ainsworth, we never mentioned Ainsworth, but she made two brilliant saves during that game.
It's a tough game for Chloe as well, because obviously we've changed what we expected of her in possession. She's got to be even more focused when we're blocking, screening and allowing the opposition to have the ball. So Chloe's performance today was spot on. Like I said, the second goal, couldn't do much about that, and Battle found a bit of space in the first half for the first goal. But apart from that, I couldn't have asked anything more of the back five and Chloe.
And speaking of that back five, Chelsea Patient, good to have her back.
Yeah, big time.
Marsh had a good game. And I do have to mention Mather, because she's playing makeshift there, and you know she's playing against Gist Battle, and she's got Figueiredo down this side as well, and she's coping brilliantly.
Yeah, 100%, she's growing into it, and Corey's main responsibility was marshalling what was going on around her with Lauren Wood. Is Chelsea being supported, and can we create attacks for her as well? So both her and Marsh, she had a tough job. I think Abby Hunt was outstanding when she dropped back in there. But I think if you're pushing me on my man of the match, it has to be Lauren Wood. On debut, to perform like that, it was an all-round performance that any player can be proud of. When you're having such an impact in and out of possession, there's players coming off like at half-time. I mean, a few examples, but Chelsea Patient coming off the pitch, and the only person she speaks to is Lauren Wood because of the impact she's had since she's come in. So, no, it's a real positive, and it's a draw at the end of the day, but the performance for me is something we can build on, and there was a belief in the squad today, and that was, as you're probably aware, was non-existent last week.
So Chester Street next in a couple of weeks, I think, or we've got something else that's just popped into the fixture list.
Yeah, no, we've got Chester Street. We're waiting to confirm the Chorley date and venue, which has now jumped in. Anick and then Bradford away on a Thursday night. So
right.
It's a hectic period coming up, but yeah, Chesterley Street at home is the 30th, is it? It's not next Sunday, the Sunday after.
And just to ask the inevitable question, how's the treatment room looking? How's the extension to the treatment room looking? I'm imagining you've got some kind of tent system going on just to keep everyone...
Yeah, it's still hectic in there. We need to keep them outside social distance if that's the case.
But Eve's there walking around, which
Eve's walking about, like I say, Jordan Bailey's assessment soon. We're hoping, and it's a massive fingers crossed, Kirsty Chambers will be back in training as of next week. Obviously, there's no rush at the moment with no game Sunday. Derby's rehab's looking good. Obviously, Eve's about walking and already starting a rehab, which is massive positive. Kayleigh's got a good few weeks. We're getting closer with her. Chelsea Patient's back. And to be honest and fair to Chelsea, she's done far more than she should have done, but it's the cards we've been dealt and the position we're in. It's getting lighter. We had a scare last week with Goodwin, and obviously she's got through 90 tonight, so that's a massive positive for us.
And just to finish this interview in a positive, I mean, we started off, we were managing expectations at the start of this broadcast, Paul, if memory serves.
Based on playing Stockport in the past, it's been very, very difficult for us, even before this season when we played them. But I thought it was quite encouraging that we actually stood up to them this afternoon, probably for the first time fully.
This season, yeah. Yeah. Well, Tom, congratulations today. That was a brilliant game of football to watch and a great performance from your team. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
You sure will.
Women's team manager Tom Fitton speaking there following his side's 2-2 draw against Stockport County. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.